Mambo Vipi, what's happening? My name is Anyiko Owoko and I am a lover of arts, culture and everything African. And here, we grant you front row access to your favorite celebrities, creators, the biggest personalities and industry experts. Come with me, you're now a VIP. Welcome back to VIP Access. This is home to your favorite personalities. And today I'm having a multi-talented artist. She's also a copyright and intellectual property specialist and lawyer. She also is a musician, thespian, actress, improv comedian, entrepreneur, super curator, really has curated dope events and gigs. Welcome, June Kashui.
Thank you, Aniko. So nice to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. Oh my God, I'm always so excited to be around you, even though I've been around you so many times.
For a long time, yeah.
But I think it's just how talented you are and just how you carry so much light and power that always amazes me.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're Thank such... You. A powerful light.
I like that. I'm going to add that to my CV. Yeah.
Out
of all the little acronyms that will put powerful light.
Right.
I like that. Thank you.
I like that. And I always say, like, many people are many things, but you know what really is for me about June? I just find that you're such a powerful light because you are a powerhouse. But you also like to shine light on other people. Mm-hmm. And I even like, you know, what you've done with your gigs, Motown, The Hang.
Yes.
For an artist to be so selfless, to come out of themselves and create platforms for other artists, collaborate with other artists, is just something amazing. Yeah. So thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm grateful I've had that opportunity and continue to have it. For as long as there's all this amazing talent, most of these guys we work with now are half my age. At this point, you know, and I keep thinking, like, when I was starting out in this space, we weren't that many, you know, and so you kind of like took your little corner of the world, took your little corner of the gig space, and then you would literally try and flood it with as much June as possible. And then now I'm finding that as time goes on, our society is more open to having people within the creative sector openly come out and say, this is where I earn my money. This is where I trade professionally. And then what we're missing, in my opinion, is platforms. We're waiting for that one corporate to have that one gig a year who will then only be able to host maybe 5 artists. And here we have 25 or 100. And so where do we find these other opportunities? And the second thing was just, it was so much more fun to have more people on stage. I was like, this is so cool. I get to dance with these guys. I get to sing with these other people. So I think it also keeps me happy, keeps me young, keeps me fresh. So I don't ever get bored when I'm in this sort of creative music and performance.
That's
space.
Dope. That's dope. Yeah. I know that the events world is not easy.
At all.
So how have you managed to, you know, create your platforms, brands, and keep them going?
Yeah.
Are people, in your experience, like people who come to your concerts, like do they all buy tickets or do you have to get partners and sponsors? I mean, you always have to get partners and sponsors, but what has really made you move forward with the platforms and events?
The truth is, Aniko, I have partners way more than I have sponsors.
Oh.
And the difference between the two is provider of stage lights and screens, for example, would normally charge, for argument's sake, $1 million. But I tell him, I'm not a corporate, I'm not able to afford that, but I think this gig is really dope. And if we can do these 6 events in a year together, then we all make a little bit of money, but don't completely finish what's in my kitty.
Yeah.
And that's how I approach the partner. And the guy goes, okay, fine. I'm knocking off 70%, pay 300K and we're good. For example, right?
Yeah.
10th person says the same thing. I've seen the way the clouds are looking. I'll give you the tents for 3 extra days for you to set up so everything is covered, and I will only charge you for the gig day. That's a partner. A sponsor is where I think a lot of us event people run to get actual cash. It's very difficult in Kenya to break even or make money from an event, especially if you're trying to improve and grow and give your audience a different experience each time. Because I really think that's the thing that keeps our audience coming back. We never do the same thing ever. Mm. And so they're always like, ooh, what's going to happen this time? What's the new thing that's going to be added? A new artist, a new piece of decor, a new thing on our set, the choice of music. We never repeat anything. And that's, I think, something that our audience have truly appreciated. And they feel they're getting value for money every time they come for our events because of that. The partner route is the way to go. And if you're able to secure your social capital, it's actually the biggest asset that I have right now, that I'm able to call people and say, if you believe in making magic with me, I can't do it alone. If we work together, what can we achieve? Sponsors are great when they do come through. They give you cash, but cash is not always the only thing, because I think people then run, get the cash, and then the quality of what we see on stage. But it gives you more resilience when you don't have the cash and you can still make magic.
Of course. That's the best thing I've had since I could remember. Social capital will always trump the money.
Always. Always. Money is great, but I can't tell you that I have had it. I don't. Sometimes I go, I'm like, how did we pull that off? I don't even know. Oh, it's God and social capital.
Yeah. Mm. Amazing. And for those who are listening, because this podcast's biggest listenership actually is out of East Africa is Ghana,
nice.
South Africa, Mauritius, and Senegal. The podcast is also syndicated on a Ghanaian TV channel.
Bye, Africa.
It's so dope that Africa is listening.
Africa
Could
is
you
listening.
Explain to them like this event that you know you curated and created.
Okay, so
because you say not one event is similar to another.
Yes. So at the moment we have 5 properties. The first is Motown in Nairobi. I'm calling it the first because it's 10 years old this year. And it's basically music from the record label that is known as Motown. And we started sort of showcasing that music because there was a demographic of audience members who asked for something for their age group.
Of course.
And so we listened to the feedback of our audience and we put something together for them. It got such wonderful reviews and we started doing it a couple of times a year. And the second property we then curated was the tribute series, which is, you know, departed legends and living legends. So African musicians, the likes of Whitney Houston, Luther Vandross, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, who's a living legend. And we've done enough of those over the years. I think the first one we did was probably in 2015. And what that has helped us to do is to honor the people who have poured their music into our lives as musicians and have influenced our musical canvas. So you hear that song, I Want to Dance with Somebody, and you can remember exactly where you were. And if it's happening for us as musicians, it's happening for the audience. And so we are able to connect on that level. The third property is called The Heng, which is a 90s throwback. And now we've started moving into the early 2000s as well. But basically just good vibes. We celebrate the lingo when we were all growing up. We used to say, I'm going to The Heng. And not that The Heng was an event. The Heng was an experience. You'd go to a venue, a nightclub. You go hang out with your friends and you'd go out. That was called hanging back in the day. So we thought, let's reclaim that terminology. And it's a live performance with choreography, wardrobe, everything. And then we have 2 DJs who've partnered with us since the very first edition. We launched our newest baby this year called The Bear Sessions, which is a really stripped down interpretation of original music. We launched the first session with Sage, and we basically had arrangers rearrange her music, give it back to her, and we performed it completely acoustically. Nothing was plugged in. We had, I think, only the guitar, everything else. We had a grand piano instead of a keyboard. We had no tracking. We had a string quartet. We had a horn section. And it was beautiful to see what own Kenyan music can sound like when we have the freedom to add all these beautiful elements to it. So those are the 5 properties that we're working with now. There's a one that we do because it's important to give back. I produce the Love Zone for the Rotary Club of Langata. It's a fundraiser event that we produce for free for them so that they can raise money for school fees for about 50 children that they support. So we do it around Valentine's Day. And whether you are with somebody or you are looking for somebody, you can come and sing along to some beautiful love songs.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's June. A lot.
And you still manage to have your day job and many other jobs because you don't have just have,
don't
have
just
a
have
day
one.
Job. You're you know, also a radio presenter at Capital. June is usually hosting the Jam, which is really cool. And then you are also an IP lawyer.
Yes.
So how do you actually end up getting time to do all these things?
We will sleep when the time is given to us to sleep. And I nap a lot when I'm able to. But yeah, I wake up early. I try and allocate 4 hours a day to everything I do. Not more than 4 hours, because I think after that, I'm really not productive.
Wait. Only 4 hours for everything or each?
4 hours per thing.
Per thing?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's a theory that I'm testing out called the block of four. And it's actually radio that taught me that, because my show is 4 hours long. From 3 to 7, whatever we need to get done has to get done between 3 and 7.
Mm.
The value of 30 seconds. A quick link before the news. Mm. News has to run at 5. If it's 5, it's 5. You can't be talking at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. You must have finished your point.
Right. So it gave me a completely different perspective on time and how to manage it. So I thought, okay, if I'm this effective for 3 to 7, why can't I apply the same sort of energy focus for 4 hours for all the other things that I do? So typically, if everything goes according to plan, 6 to 10 is the first block of 4. I'm usually trying to have my own window of time. I'm still in my PJs. I'm having my coffee. I do my prayer. I'm on my laptop trying to read through emails, finish reviewing that contract that I fell asleep trying to work on the night before. And it helps me to just get myself ready. From 10 to 2, I'm open to meeting my clients. I'm in my office. I'm at my desk with my team. If there's anything we need to work on, meet a new client, whatever it is. So that's sort of like JGIP consultants time, which is the name of my firm. And then I leave at 2 because I need an hour with this beautiful Nairobi traffic to get to the studio. And then that's sort of like lunchtime, make calls, check in with family, catch up with a friend. But as you're in transit,
wow.
3 to 7 is the radio show. That's another block of 4. And then 7 to 11, you could either go have drinks with a friend, go for dinner, go to the gym, go work out, go for a walk, or get back on your laptop if you didn't finish and your brain is clear enough to come back and tackle. Or if we have a production, I go for rehearsals. Rehearsals are usually 6 to 9 p.m. if we're able to get everybody on a day that doesn't have a gig. Yeah, so that's sort of what I'm testing out. Does it work perfectly all the time? No. But it's definitely made me more intentional about giving everything a little bit of time every day.
And I think sometimes we really have to find how to give everything its own time.
Yes.
Because if you don't, there are certain things that might take more time.
Correct. Or some things that will fall.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because June, you do a lot. You
yeah.
are such a powerhouse. Yeah, and you're also a musician.
Don't you think we have time? You do a lot. Don't you do a lot? You do a lot too.
I do a lot, and I also try to have some sort of planning. For instance, people want to meet with you every day. I'm sure you have clients who have contracts to show you, have consultations, and
I
can't just take consultations
every day,
anytime. So I have to check my week and check my days, and I usually tell them I can't have this kind of consultation days back to back.
Yeah.
I also need time for myself
and to actually do the
sit
work.
Down and do the work.
Yes.
Because meetings and consultations, I feel like that was some work, but then also some work wasn't done the whole day, because
True.
I can't be consulting and at the same time doing
desk,
a PR
your
report.
Desk is still looking
right.
Like this.
So
yeah.
I always have to go out and then get back and finish the actual desk work. So
yeah.
I think,
and you have life happening while all this is
that too.
We haven't even talked about family and all those other things.
Exactly.
And that's still happening.
Yeah.
The other thing that has helped me a lot is delegating. And that was hard because my personality is such that I usually do the thing myself, because I didn't have a lot of grace for mistakes. And over the years, I've learned that that's the thing I've had to work on the most. So now I have teams. I have teams at JGIP Consultants, the firm, who work on, like, I can meet the client the first meeting. I'll introduce them to my
mm-hmm.
associate and say, you may not always find me, but so-and-so can handle you perfectly. If you have an issue, let me know and we move on. Same thing with the event side. You know, we'll do a site visit with my team and I'll tell them, okay, that's the manager of this venue. That's the person in charge of security. We have the first couple of meetings and then I hand over to them. That was really difficult to trust another individual with your vision, with your dream.
Yeah.
But there's no other way it to all work.
There's absolutely no other way. I also came to learn the same because, first of all, one person can be at four different places at the same time.
Yes.
And then if you want to do something at different times and do something else at different times, someone has to be handling the other thing.
On your behalf.
You know, I wouldn't even be sitting here if I didn't have my team, you know, doing the PR stuff because I would have to be there. But thankfully, there's now a team to help me move on and do other things. But I want to say I love this June even more than the June I fell in love with because we got to know each other back then when I used to work at KBC.
Yes, I remember.
Hosting an entertainment show called Grapevine, and it was really happening then, you know. I think jazz was...
You've been happening then. Like, God, you saw this thing before.
A lot of people did. So, and sometimes I feel like even though I'm now podcasting and podcasting is the in thing, I'm just like, I just feel at home because this is exactly where I started. Yes. You know, that's how I got to know June.
Yeah.
And I always remember those days so fondly because they really formed my love for Nairobi, for our culture, and for what's happening locally. Mm. From seeing you perform alongside the likes of Aaron Rimbui, Kavuda. So that was really cool. And when I bumped into you at the other event and I said, June, will you come to my podcast? You said, of course I'll come.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind was jazz and copyright with June. And I was like, you should have a podcast called Jazz and Copyright with June because you are actually such a wonderful jazz musician.
Thank you.
But the interesting thing right now is you have really created just this empire. Mm. And now people know June for all these different type of things. And I love that because you've always been more than just jazz.
Mm.
But then you were more plugged in the jazz scene and now you're curating all these events which are...
And different genres as well. Yeah.
So I really love that, June. But I still miss the jazz. I remember I used to bother you. Sometimes we used to meet at events. I'm like, when is your next jazz event?
Yes.
You're like, I look for the other things I'm doing.
True. But I think also, you know how things are circumstantial sometimes? So at that time when we started these live performances and these gigs, this is what the clients would ask for. Jazz was equal to non-intrusive, non-bothersome music. Or unbothersome, whatever the English word is. So people could come for their cocktail event, they could engage, they could have a conversation, and this jazz, oh, it's nice and it's quiet, and it gives you a nice vibe, but it's not in your face. Mm. That's why a lot of clients, I think, gave us as much work as they did, because they were looking for that kind of entertainment, as opposed to this thing that makes you stop what you're doing, sit down, and it's a show. You have to watch us.
Yeah.
You have to listen to us. You have to be aware that we're in your space, in your building, in your house, in your office, right? So I think it was almost by default that there were that many sort of jazz events at the time. And I do think it's a natural progression because even jazz right now feels like a almost elitist, kind of like very specialized sound. But there's been a lot of festivals that have helped to bring jazz, let's say, to the people.
Of course.
So it's made it more accessible. And from jazz, there's sprouted all these different, you know, genres that have infused some jazz
elements.
But also other sort of cultural elements as well. So I think it was a really lovely launch pad.
Yes.
But I still love my jazz standards. I won't lie. Like, jazz gigs for me are always, like, fun.
Really?
When guys are having dinner, we played for a client the other day. There were only 16 of them. And so, of course, a lot of the initial sort of music that we did for the first 30 minutes was just nice jazz tracks. It's good vibes and it's so super sexy.
Yeah.
So nice.
And sometimes I feel like you guys, the jazz artists, sometimes I see you even kind of start to do improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scatting or sort of like you, because jazz frees you, right? It has form, but then it also doesn't have form, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody starts playing something, you can't really rehearse. You'll just say, I'll take a solo. You don't even know what that solo is going to sound like because maybe you're feeling sad and you'll sing more, I don't know, minor notes or something. But yeah, I think that's the freedom a performer, I think, really craves for. That yes, there are things that are rehearsed, but then you also want to sort of break free from that mold every so often. But yeah, jazz does that.
That's so dope. And I'm so happy for all your friends in jazz because everyone seems to, you know, be doing their thing.
Well, yeah.
Kavuda is now running an events company, which is super successful as
true,
well.
True.
I know they worked with Sauti Sol for the Soul Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron is touring the world with Tiwa and also having his own shows in New York at this jazz cafe. I'm like, go you. Yeah. This is exactly where you were supposed to be at this time.
Exactly. The whole lot, I think. I was in Diani the other day and I met up with Crispy Talk, who's also
another legend.
Another legend. So if I think about those guys we were performing with 20-something years ago, it's really refreshing. Lawrence Y, Eddie Gray, who's still doing his amazing stuff. Currently, I think in Turkana, we're doing some really cool content
with the Turkana artists. Yes. But what do you mean 20 years ago? What?
Yep. My first ever gig with, I think, Lawrence Moy was in, I think I was maybe 19.
You really like started that. Young.
Yeah.
You're already singing jazz at 19.
Yeah. I started. And we would sit there and rehearse. Let me tell you, rehearse. It's been a beautiful journey. I think music has been, the arts have been a part of my life for so long.
Yeah.
It's like the other supply of oxygen
of
for
course.
Me.
Of course. Yeah. It's really your DNA.
Yeah.
It's not something you can detach yourself from.
Mm-mm. Nor am I trying to.
Same here.
even the legal side have had to accept that Akoivo too. She's just like that.
Okay. So before we wrap up, I think it's very important to also touch on copyright and intellectual property. Atakamai just kidogo, because that's obviously something very important, especially for artists and creatives, even businesses, to know what does that mean for you.
True.
So in layman terms, what is copyright and what's IP, and why is it important for whoever is listening if they are
creative? Okay, so the overall sort of phrase is intellectual property or IP. So that's the discipline within law that helps us to protect the creations of our mind. And what does that mean? It focuses on intangible property. Things you cannot see, feel, touch. We can see and touch this microphone, this table, this chair, these earrings. But the artistic sort of intangible side of a song, of a movie, of a book, the story and the journey it takes you on, of art that you see on a wall, you know, it's subject of intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
So intellectual property is broken down into two. Copyright is one. And industrial property is the other. So copyright will cover music, literature, audiovisual works, film, visual art, photography, elements of fashion, software, because software is written code. It's actually a literary work, like a book. In industrial property, we have things that are invented, for example, like, again, the microphone, the laptop, through which the software will work to make the thing make sense. A lever, pulleys, pharmaceutical sort of drugs and things like that. So it's more industry, used in industry. Mm. Trademarks, for example. And we're having a very interesting debate right now in our country about trademarks and what can be trademarked and what cannot. So how are you known to your audience, to your clientele, to your customers? So that's what IP helps us to protect. When you are trading, you must decide, am I offering a good, a product or service, or am I offering something that could be considered art? That will help you know which side of IP you fall. Because there are people who say, I want to patent my TV show. I want to patent my podcast. You can't do that. Patent doesn't cover creative works. Copyright does. Trademark will cover the name of the brand. For example, Aniko or Oko is the name of the brand. That is what we would trademark.
Okay.
But patent and geographical indications and utility models, all under industrial property. So for those in the creative space, you are squarely under copyright.
Yes.
You want to register your work, your songs. You want to enter into agreements with the people you collaborate with. If you're part of a record label, if you're part of a writing residency, these are questions we must ask ourselves right at the outset, not when the song is popular.
This is where even signing the split sheets come in.
Split sheets help you know who played which role. Aniko wrote verse one, June wrote verse two. We collaborated and both wrote the hook. And then somebody walked in and said, hey, I was listening to you guys and I want to suggest this for a hook.
Yeah.
All three of us now become rights holders within that song, and the split sheet should correctly indicate, before the song has gone anywhere, before it's released, before it's published, before it's on air or any DSP platform, you want to document this.
Yes.
Most of the royalty collection bodies will also ask you, or should also ask you, for these documents so they know who to pay the royalties to. think of Nollywood, Riverwood, all our woods, Hollywood, wanting to use some of this music for their soundtracks. Who are they going to call if they want to license the music? So documenting this right at the beginning is
very important.
Extremely important, because music doesn't just live on your phone, on your gadget. It could travel. An orchestra in China might say, I want to perform that live. We've seen our Swahili version of the Lord's Prayer being performed by choirs in the Far East. How the heck did that happen? Somebody may have licensed or may have given transcribed sort of music sheets to them to perform. But some money should have then come back from those types of exploitation.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that artists need to remember around intellectual property is trademark. A lot of our artists have pseudonyms, they have stage names, and then we see them producing merchandise and selling the merchandise. Why don't they trademark their name? We've got a lot of those artists in Kenya whose business names are known names, record labels, you know, the Ogopa DJs of this world, an artist like Nameless, who has a name, but his stage name is Nameless. If you wanted Nameless merchandise, that's the kind of thing you would then pursue a trademark registration for, that then secures you for 10 years to exploit that exclusively. So I think artists have a responsibility not to become lawyers, but to understand how this intellectual property rights can help them exploit and monetize. That's what we preach at JGIP. You create, you protect, you exploit, and you monetize.
That is so important. And we were discussing this also before this podcast, just saying, like, it's crazy because this information has been out there, but it's almost like no one is listening.
Yeah.
There still needs to be more of this information. And that's part of the reason why we're even having this discussion.
Yeah. More avenues for them to hear it.
Yeah.
And more avenues for them to know where they can access it.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, and you got my honest opinion about us humans and us creatives, I'm including myself in that mix, is that until it has bitten us in the behind, we are not going to do anything about it. So when you have a challenge is when you go, oh my gosh, there was some copyright thing I heard about somewhere.
Yeah.
At least at this point, I've settled on, they know where to go to get the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
They may not sit with the information and understand it the way an IP lawyer like myself does. And that's fine. An awareness that there's something called intellectual property. And as an artist, I need to know where my copyright lies and what did I give to so-and-so and what does licensing mean versus what does transferring rights mean. If I at least have a general understanding, I'm good with that, right? I made peace with it.
Mm.
So I think to all the artists listening, you have a responsibility. It's not somebody else's job to come and pick you up. But if we have spent all these years studying and we have podcasts like yours that make people know you can access this information here, then I think we've taken a stride. And there's the Kenya Copyright Board as well. In each of these African countries, there is a copyright body.
Mm.
In Ghana, there's one. In Nigeria, there's one. In Uganda, there's one. In Tanzania, there's COSOTA. In South Africa, there are several. So you can go and get information if you need more clarity.
Fantastic. Thank you so much,
You're
June.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
for
me.
For coming to VAP Access. So June, I'm so excited that your EP is finally out. Since the album 20, we just haven't had a discography from June until now. Tell me about this new EP.
True. I've been curating events, as I'm sure you've seen. So that sort of took up my creative space. But I'm very excited that we worked on this project with a really great producer from Nigeria. His name is Johnson Omonije, or Oga Owoniji.
Okay.
And it's a East-West collaboration. And there are love sessions, basically. It's like 5-6 songs, I think, which are not deep, but they're so dope. You know, not deep, but dope. And they speak about love, different aspects of love. I'm trying to get more catchy tunes out to my audience. My first album, as you know, was basically the story of my life.
Yes.
So it was like the first sort of exhaling. And now I'm experimenting more with different sounds. Crazy is probably my favorite track on that EP right now. And the video is out on YouTube, so please check it out. And the next track that I'm really proud of is Happy Place, because artists artistically, I try to do something that I don't normally do. So I've tried to bring in some jazz aspects, which is something that I haven't done in a while. So yeah, man, I'm super excited for this collaboration. And of course, a lot of my usual crew came on to add some yumminess. I've got Benjamin Kabaseke doing some guitars. I've got Newman O'War doing guitars. I've got Lisa O'Dwar on some vocals. So I'm very happy with this project and I finally got some music out.
That's dope.
Yeah, so check it out.
That's dope. Thank you so much, Joanne, for coming to VIP Access. Keep rocking, keep curating really dope events as you are, and also keep just educating us. Don't be tired, you know. It's almost like a broken record, but I'm asking June about copyright again. I will actually book an appointment.
Please don't stop. I told you I'm okay being asked to repeat 100 times if it will help. I feel like that's my calling, so I will definitely
repeat
it.
That's dope.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm very thankful that you found time to come here on VIP Access.
You said VIP, I'm like, of course. Of course. These are the places I go.
Asante sana. Karibu. That was June Gashui from Nairobi, Kenya, a really dope intellectual property lawyer and musician, artist, just vibe curator, all-round amazing individual. So please follow June Gashui on all her social media channels. You can follow JGIP Consultants.
Yes.
I got that right.
Yes.
And get some advice. If you're an artist, please book an appointment with them. They're very professional and they might actually change your career. Thank you so much and be back next week. I'll have another amazing artist. Ciao.
Bye. VIP Access Season 4 is proudly supported by the Australian High Commission.